The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What is going on? It is the Hoop Ball Clippers podcast. Brandon Mark is back with you. We are here on a Sunday recording as the Clippers are just 5 days away from starting their preseason. Before you know it, you blink and the season is back as the chance to try and win that 2021 title is about to be underway. The Clippers just had their first day of training camp today. Ty Lue said he could barely sleep as he was so excited to take over the reins on this team, as it is Ty Lue as head coach as the Los Angeles Clippers open up with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, Marcus Morris, Pat Beverly, Lou Williams. This crew is ready to go. On today's podcast, we're going to talk to Tomer Azarli of Clutch Points. He is someone that covers this team religiously throughout the season. We'll talk about this whole PG Doc drama. We'll also talk about the schedule as it was just released a couple of days ago. We'll break that down, talk about the preseason and all that it entails. But before we get there, folks, we are just about ready to start the season, which means that fantasy basketball is just around the corner. Your drafts are coming up, and we want you to be prepared. And how do you get prepared? How about hoop-ball.com's incredible new content? I mean, it is unbelievable what they are doing right now with all the different offers that they give you to try and get, whether it's the Brew 150 that perhaps you want a piece of, or the Fantasy Pass, the DFS Pass, the Wager Pass, $12.99 per month for the Hoop Ball 360. That includes all of it. You want just perhaps the Fantasy Pass, which has the Brewski 150 early access, the 2021 Draft Guide, the Fantasy Appraiser, Draft/Free Agency Supplements. Fantasy Pass has you covered. So many different options starting at $4.99. I want you to go to hoop-ball.com, follow Aaron Brewski, follow Dan Bespris. All those guys are tweeting out links, and so am I, to all the premium content that we want to give you over at HoopBall. Don't sit on the sidelines. Join our squad. Get the information that'll help you win the league. You spend an extra couple bucks, you win a lot of bucks with this incredible content. And before we get to Tomer, one more thing for you. We got to say hello to our partner over at ExpressVPN. There are a ton of different VPN providers out there. You've probably heard a couple of them. Some of you may have even used a VPN before, but I want to do my research on my sponsors, and I only recommend brands to my listeners that I believe in. I can say with full confidence that ExpressVPN is the best VPN on the market. Here's why. ExpressVPN does not log your data. Lots of really cheap or free VPNs make money by selling your data to ad companies. ExpressVPN does not do that. They developed a technology called Trusted Server that makes it impossible for the servers to log any of your info. Second, speed. A lot of VPNs will slow down your connection, make your device sluggish. ExpressVPN will make your stuff quick. You won't have to sit there as it lags. You can stream HD quality videos with zero lag. It's so easy to use. You don't have to input or program anything. You just fire up the app, click one button to connect. It's so easy, even your grandparents can do it. So protect yourself with the VPN that I use and trust. Use my link, expressvpn.com/hoopball. That's expressvpn.com/hoopball today. Get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/hoopball. Visit expressvpn.com/hoopball to learn more. All right, enough of me. Let's talk to our friend Tomer Azarli. So I think the last time we spoke, Tomer, was when the Nuggets and Clippers had just played game one. It was either the Nuggets and Clippers or the Mavs and Clippers. I believe it was the Nuggets and Clippers, and the Clippers dominated, and we said, this is going to be a five-game series. This is going to be a five-game series. And what do you know? The Nuggets go on to win. Was it the Mavericks or the Nuggets?
I think it was the Mavericks.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
I think you're previewing the Mavericks series after that game one reaction moving forward. Which I said, yeah, I thought it was going to be a 4 or 5 game series at the time. And I thought I really thought it should have been, you know, they're one Reggie Jackson defending Luka Doncic on a game winner away from it being a 5 game series. And, that whole postseason was a mess for the Clippers though. I mean, both series, they should have won. Both series were just made much more difficult than they needed to be.
So, yeah. And, that's going to be a good segue into this pod, which is going to mention some PG Doc stuff, because that's obviously been a hot topic. And we'll go into the schedule, because that was released a couple of days ago. I want to start with the PG Doc stuff, Tomer, because we saw PG, the video clips that got released from the podcast / video, what was it, Up in Smoke or whatever it was called?
All the Smoke.
There you go. The podcast that he was on, where he basically said that he was not playing the position that he normally wants to play, and then he was doing a lot of, I think, coming off screens and just spot-up shooting threes, and that's basically not his game, whatever it was. And then he mentioned something that, more importantly, where he said that there wasn't many adjustments, and it just seemed like these players were just out there, and they were going out there, and no adjustments were being made after they lost. I mean, 3-1, then they lost to make it 3-2, then lost, obviously, it was 3-3. And then you had a lot of social media going after PG for the stuff he was saying because he wasn't taking responsibility for, obviously, he played terribly, and PG's not known for his great games in big moments. Then you had PG come out the next day, and he said, you know what, I got to take responsibility. That was on me. Like, I got to be better. And then Doc comes out today because he was asked to comment on Paul George's comments and said, hey, listen, I enjoyed coaching him, so not a lot to say there. Ty Lue was sitting right next to me, so he better hope it's not adjustments. It ain't going to be much different. Listen, we lost the game, and I think everybody needs to take ownership. Obviously, we can always do better. Players can play better. As far as I'm concerned, I'll leave it there. Where do you stand on all this? Because it's crazy, man. I mean, everybody, I feel like, has responsibility, but the one thing we mentioned when Ty Lue was hired was, well, this is the same guy that was right there next to Doc. He could have easily been like, hey, you need to play Zoo more than Trez because Trez is getting crushed by Jokic. Hey, maybe it's not a good idea to put Reggie Jackson on Doncic. Where do you stand on all this?
I mean, look, I understand both sides of it. I mean, the Clippers didn't lose because of Montrezl Harrell. They lost probably because of Doc Rivers' lack of adjustments. And that goes to not putting not only Harrell in better positions, but everyone in better positions to succeed. Didn't utilize Landry Shamet to the best of his ability. I know he was coming off COVID. Same with Ivica Zubac. You know, but there definitely is some blame to throw around, especially at Paul George. Look, Paul George is a great player. He's a really good player. Regular season, he's shown he can be. Even in the playoffs, he's shown at times that he really can be. He's had some great games in the playoffs, and especially in the elimination games as well. Everyone likes to bag on him for his lack of appearance in the playoffs, but he's got, you know, 36-9-3 in an elimination game. He's just done it, and I think people don't like to talk about that. However, this past postseason was just rough for him. We all know the bubble is a different animal. He had that 3-game stretch during the Mav series from games 2 to 4, where he shot, 21% from the field?
Points,
21%.
Yeah, he was awful. And then he came out in game 5 and he did well. And then he commented about how he was just mentally getting messed up in the bubble.
Right. So I think, you know, this wasn't the only player we heard talk about this. We heard Danny Green talk about it. We had a couple other players talk about it as well. So I think the bubble should serve as a bit of an exemption, just because it's a unique, different environment that, frankly, I don't think a lot of players wanted to be there. You know, while they publicly said they wanted to be there competing for a title, I don't think they truly wanted to be there, away from family, at the time potentially risking their lives as well. So I think now we know more about it. But going back to the PG stuff, everyone deserves a piece of the cake in terms of the blame. Doc deserves his. I thought that when the video came out on All the Smoke and PG made those comments, I didn't really say anything about it, but I thought it was kind of out of line, considering while Paul George did show up offensively and defensively some games, he's paid as a superstar, and he's known as a superstar to do both every game.
Yeah.
So consistency is just the biggest issue with him. You can't do it game one and not do a game two, and then do a game three and not do a game four. I think that's my biggest issue with him, is that if the Clippers, if Paul George plays to his standards, the Mavs are probably a sweep. The Denver Nuggets is probably a 5 or 6 game series at the most. And then you never know what happens to the Lakers series. They played them really well throughout the season, even though they went 2-2. So I think Paul George definitely deserves some of the blame. And he did come out a couple of days after that video was released. He spoke to us members of the media, and he said, let's clear the air on this. I wasn't trying to throw blame on Doc. We're all accountable. I blame myself for being the one on the court while blowing a 3-1 lead. So he did take some accountability for that, which I did like. It's just a mixed bag right now, because Paul is a splendid, fantastic player. He has shown up in the playoffs, but I just think consistency is the biggest thing with him. And at this point, you know, when you go from his, you know, this wasn't a championship or bust year for us, to this comment initially about only blaming Doc, it just comes off as, you know, like, what are you trying to do here? At this point, maybe just, you know, let your game do the talking for you. And so I think that's what a lot of people expected. Just, you know, just let the game do the talking at this point. Just don't go out there and blame Doc and or say this or that. Just go out there and let your game do the talking. And I fully expect a revenge season type of season from Paul George this year. He said he's fully healthy now. He had a training camp, which he didn't have last year. Came off dual shoulder surgeries. And so I'm expecting a much better Paul George this time. And, you know, for the sake of, you know, shutting down the haters and allowing him to play his game the way he knows he can on both ends, I kind of hope we see that, just because it'll be good to see after a couple of years struggling for him. So, yeah, I don't know what to expect, but I do hope for a revenge season style year from Paul George.
Yeah, and let's not forget that 2 years ago he was number 3 in the MVP voting, and this is a guy that clearly has the ability to be a leader. And I think my biggest issue with the whole Doc PG stuff and PG coming out and saying what he did, I think my biggest gripe with last year's team, Tomer, was that it didn't seem like there was a leader on last year's team. I mean, Kawhi Leonard obviously is extremely quiet. PG just goes about his business, doesn't really talk a whole lot. We see some random comments here and there on social media. We saw the whole bench debacle when he was getting yelled at by, I think it was Lillard, for going up and down on the bench and going crazy. It's just one of those things where it just seems like this team didn't have a leader. And then to go out and do what he did, and I agree with you, that it just seems like it was very unnecessary. Like, I know you're on a podcast with people that you can talk openly and honestly about, but you need to realize that in this situation, if you go and you throw Doc under the bus because you don't think he played you correctly, and then you don't think he made adjustments, listen, I don't completely buy that they made zero adjustments. I do buy that there were some big adjustments that were not made, though. I mean, the Trez thing we can talk about until the cows come home, because that was the most obvious thing where we really saw the numbers show what the offensive rating was like, the defensive rating was like with both Trez on the floor and versus with Zoo on the floor. So we get to the point now where you said what you said, okay, probably shouldn't have done that. Then he said, you know what, I'll take responsibility. That's the next step, I guess, to trying to be the leader. And then for Doc to say what he did, it's just like, you don't need this type of stuff in the media right now. You know what I mean? Like, just go out and win games. You don't need to worry about anything that's, you don't need to add more to the social media pile of crap that's already being thrown your way, because the Clippers just seem to be in that because they are technically rivals with the Lakers and trying to get to where the Lakers are. So just enough of that. You know what I mean?
I do. But I think at the same time, Paul, I think I understand the point Paul was trying to relate. I just don't think he took enough accountability in his comments initially. And it just sounded like he was blaming Doc,
Yeah. Which
is why when he came out the second time, he was just explaining like, hey, it wasn't like that. Everyone's responsible for it, blah, blah, blah. I think Paul kind of struggles with sometimes saying too much in the media, which, you know, as a media member, I don't always mind. But, you know, when you say this wasn't a championship or bust year, you know,
exactly. Kinda, yeah. Kinda, that was huge.
What? Yeah. You're saying, what's going on? What are you talking about? This was, you know, you're possible. You can leave after 1 year, after another year. So, and then the comments initially, again, he didn't really take much accountability. And so I think that, he sometimes struggles with how to phrase what he wants to say. Some guys deal with that. It's just, you know, we're seeing Kyrie Irving going through a media blackout right now. But I think for the league's, you know, entertainment factor, I mean, everyone loves it when the Clippers are struggling and, you know, the Lakers are riding sky high right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, honestly, even vice versa, when the Lakers were being talked about as underdogs, and the Clippers were playing well, I think that was even good for entertainment. So, at the end of the day, this is all just entertainment. You know, I think that's important to remember. But it's tough because I didn't think Doc would actually respond to this. I thought he would just let it go and move on. Mm-hmm. This is something that's what he's been gone for about 2 months now.
Yeah.
So. I actually was surprised when I saw those comments today. I do think Doc also feels some type of way, because I'm sure coaching that team could not have been easy. The egos, you know, that's not to say that someone on there was, you know, controlling it with his ego, but there's a lot to handle there. And I simply don't think Doc did a good enough job. And while, you know, he is a great mentor and a great leader, sometimes I think you need a newer face like a Ty Lue, who's much closer to them in age. I think is much more relatable to them in a lot of different ways. He's played in more of, you know, today's era of basketball, at least towards the end of it, in the late 2000s. So, yeah, I'm ready to move on from this. Honestly, it's just in terms of the last year, I think the Clippers are sort of ready to move on as well. It's just. There's just always something you can talk about. Like you said, with the Montrezl Harrell thing, you could talk about that for days because he was one of the main reasons they lost that series. And but again, that falls on Doc for playing him in those positions. So, you know, I wrote a piece basically saying who's to blame for this loss. And I didn't take it easy on Doc or Trez because they were largely responsible for it. But it is what it is at this point. You really have to. I think the Clippers got a better leader, a more accountable leader in Ty Lue. I think they got a guy who is much more respected in the league with Serge Ibaka, not a guy you can mess around. He's a guy who can be a vocal leader in the locker room as well. You know, Nick Batum is talented. He can go to work. He's kind of had a down year last year. But I think the additions will be good for the Clippers in terms of, you know, getting back to where they want to be. And I think I do like this role as underdogs for them. I think they perform better as underdogs as opposed to favorites. When you're favorites, and I think this is the first time as favorites for everyone not named Kawhi last year, that puts a huge target on your back. And I think that's one of the reasons I expect a better year this upcoming year, because they won't be favorites when you have the Lakers, the Nets, the Bucks retooling. Even though the Warriors might not be championship contenders, they'll be fun to watch. So. Yeah, this should be a fun year in the NBA.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our friends over at MyBookie. Boy, MyBookie.ag is the place to go if you want to make money. I hope you guys feasted on the MyBookie Turkey Day free play that allowed users to grab themselves a risk-free bet up to $250. It was basically a free shot at trying to double your money. If you didn't get in on that, what are you doing? Now is the time to get involved. You have NFL continuing. You have basketball just about to start. You have college football. You have Premier League. So many different sports that you can bet on. We know who these teams are. We know what they're capable of. It's not difficult to find some value in the lines. Whether you're a first-time customer or you've been playing with MyBookie for years, there's no shortage of value to be found in the thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and contests that they offer every single week. Sign up or get reloaded today, find an edge, make your bet, and get paid. They also, by the way, have a fully fledged casino platform. Yes, you heard me. Gives access to all the different classic table, slot, and card games you'd expect to find at MyBookie. The doors never close. Make the right play and sign up today at MyBookie. When you do, use the promo code HOOPBALL to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in $200, they'll match you with another $100 in your account. If you're already planning to bet this season, this is free betting money. If you look at the HoopBall gaming account, they'll help you as well. You have all of the different things at HoopBall that you can take advantage of. They've got the wager pass that'll help you even more. Go and sign up mybookie.ag. Use the promo code HoopBall today. You bring up something interesting where you said that these guys, I think, want to move on to this season and just get past last year. And that's the weird thing about PG bringing up what he did, was that you know by saying that you're bringing up last year and you're not moving on to next year. So hopefully that was a mistake on his end that he won't do again, that these guys will move on and we'll stop talking about Doc Rivers and what happened during that playoff series. Because frankly, it was a collapse. It was not good. There was a lot of blame to go around. The blame pie, everybody's going to have different percentages in terms of how much was PG's fault, how much was Doc Rivers' fault, how much was Trez's fault. I mean, you could throw that around and everybody will have different numbers. So I think you bring up a good point. It's hopefully this is now a time where they do move on, because it does need to happen.
To be fair, though, he was asked about it, which it was the hot topic at the time. So I don't blame him for going into it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just think he struggles with how he phrases the things he wants to say. So
yeah, no, that makes sense.
And talking to Pat Bev today, some of the guys like Marcus the last couple of days, they believe they were the better team. And you know, someone asked Pat, how long did it take for that sting from the Nuggets loss to go away? And he said, I don't think it ever went away. It's still bugging him to this day.
So. Yeah, hopefully they carry that to this year, because you need to have a chip on your shoulder, and you need to play as underdogs. Like you said, I mean, this team was great as underdogs a couple years ago, and they really lost that dog mentality that they had during that season where they took a couple of games from the Warriors in the first round. So hopefully they carry that into the season, because they're really going to need it. And speaking of the season, I mean, we're sitting here on Sunday afternoon, and Friday is when we start with the season. It is really odd how this worked out. It just seems like the Clippers lost a couple weeks ago, and here we are with the very abbreviated training camp. I think they just started practicing today, and they have a preseason game in 5 days, and the season opener is on the 22nd, which is only 16 days away. It's a very short preseason. What do you make of that? With a short preseason where you have a new coach, I think the benefit obviously is that he's a coach that knows the personnel. I think the Clippers would be in bigger trouble if this was a very short training camp with a new coach that needed to teach a new system and personnel that he had no idea what it was or who they were. So what do you make of that? Do you think that is going to hurt the Clippers? Is it going to take them some time to get into a groove? What do you think about the shortened training camp with a new head coach?
Well, I mean, the cons are obviously that it's a shorter training camp, but the pros are that, you know, everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
And that one knock I have, just to go back to Doc, is just that there was no offensive system. It was sort of just, you know, free movement, you know, throw guys. Other than what PG said, which is kind of bringing guys off screens, I didn't really see an offensive system. And so I'm really looking forward to see what Ty Lue has set up for this team. When you have a floor spacing big in Ibaka, Zubac has shown he took a major step forward this past postseason. You got Luke Kennard, who I think they want to see if he can be healthy as a playmaking shooting guard / point guard. So, I mean, personally, look, from a health aspect, I have very serious concerns, because, you know, not only are cases rising here in Los Angeles and around the States, but it's just tough for players to be responsible, and tough to ask them to be responsible, but not only them, to have their family be responsible and to have their friends be responsible.
Oh, the season's going to be a nightmare. I mean, there's no way to get around that one. The season's going to be a nightmare. There are going to be teams that are going to have to be shut down for a week or so. I mean, you just look at the Ravens right now. I mean, it seems inevitable that it will get to that point that we will have that. The one, I guess you can call quote unquote saving grace, is that the rosters are smaller. So that's good, because there's less players that it can be transmitted through. And also some of them have already had it and some of them currently have it. So if you look at the science, they probably will not have it again in the next several months. So that's the saving grace in terms of that. But you're spot on. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare as is health-wise. But the question is, I mean, what do they do on the court? I mean, that's what I'm curious to see with such a short amount of time.
So I'm not even entirely sure with that. My only concern, you know, as opposed to the NFL, is that, you know, the Ravens had a couple guys miss the game.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be that one game that they missed. Lamar Jackson is expected to be back Tuesday.
Yeah.
So they will be back, you know, back to sort of normal. With the NBA, you could have guys, if they miss, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks, that's what, eight games, seven games?
Yeah.
That's a good chunk of your season. If, you know, knock on wood, a Paul George or someone contracts it, you know, by, you know, you, even Lawrence Frank said the other day, you can do everything right and still come down with it, mm-hmm. because it's a, you know, you can get it going to the grocery store or doing simple tasks, you know. So it's just, I really am curious to see how, you know, how they handle this. In terms of the short offseason, I'm not too concerned because I think guys are, have been taking care of their bodies, they're anxious to get back. And they're all healthy. They ended the postseason healthy. They're starting this season healthy. So as long as they ramp up, you know, the proper at the proper speed, we should be able to avoid injuries and get back to the swing of things healthy. But again, my biggest concern, like we saw James Harden is still in Las Vegas partying and apparently, quote unquote, following guidelines. So I have a lot of questions about how this is going to go down because. It's just hard for me to imagine you asking NBA players and their families and friends to go, what is it, 8 months, 7-8 months?
Yeah.
Without any, you know, no partying, no get togethers, you know, being safe. I just can't imagine it. And I think it'll change seasons for some of these guys, because like I said, you missed, 2 weeks in the NFL. That's maybe a game and you can get back in time for the second game. But in the NBA, that's seven, maybe eight games in a lot of back-to-back scenarios. So I'm curious to see how this works out. But I think the Clippers are anxious to get back out there. So I think they are actually kind of happy about the short offseason. I think they really want to get that bad taste out of their mouth from the Nuggets loss, because that clearly stung them. You know, Kawhi said he doesn't really think about it, but it is something that motivates him and fuels him. Moving forward, as it does for everyone else. So I think in a way, this is one of those games where, you know, you have a bad loss, bad blowout loss on a Saturday, and you want to come back out the next day right away and just, you know, get back after it and avenge that loss and end on a higher note. You know what I mean? So that's what I feel like from this Clippers and talking to them the last couple of days. They really just want to get this bad taste out of their mouths and move on and get over this and start the next journey towards the 2021 championship, because 2020, we all saw it ended really badly for them.
Yeah, did not end well, and it starts on December 22nd when the regular season kicks off against the Lakers. Let's go into the schedule for everyone who has not seen. I'm sure most of the people listening have, but I want to chat about the schedule, the first several games, and then just the schedule in general. But at Lakers, at Denver on Christmas, versus Dallas, 2 days later versus Minnesota, back-to-back against Portland the next day, at Utah on the first, at Phoenix on the third, versus the Spurs on the fifth, and then playing at the Warriors on the sixth and the eighth. That's not an easy opening schedule, Tomer. I mean, that is, you face the Lakers, Nuggets, Mavs, Blazers, Jazz, Suns, Warriors, and then two teams in the Spurs and the T-Wolves that probably will not be as good. But that's tough. I mean, you're... Let's not forget, this is a shorter schedule, and to open up with that, I mean, that's difficult. What do you think is going to be, I want to say the toughest part, because, I mean, how do you think the Clippers react to such a tough schedule to start?
I mean, I haven't looked at other teams' schedules, but I have to imagine that everyone is dealing with this. You know, I see a couple of 4 games in 7 days scenarios here.
Yeah.
But
it's just, you know, the teams, you know, it's like the Western Conference, because right, obviously right. With having the schedule be very travel friendly, it's just the loaded part with all the Western Conference teams and the good Western Conference teams to start just seems really difficult.
I mean, look, if you're gonna get those teams out of the way, yeah. I think you might as well do it now when you're fresher in the start of the season than the second half when you're trying to, you know, play for a playoff seed.
Good point.
Look, the Lakers... kind of cruel to make them watch opening night with the ring ceremony there. look, Denver Friday night, those, we all know these matchups are going to be tough. I mean, Lakers, Nuggets, Mavs basically would have been who they played if they beat the Nuggets in the playoffs to open up the season right here. So Minnesota is interesting. Portland is interesting. I don't really have an issue with these. I mean, I know that these are Western Conference games and we know the West is tough, but you got to get these out of the way eventually. And I think that they have a good amount of home games strung together where they can get practice days. I see they have a couple of off days on the 12th and the 19th of January, which will allow them to get actual, you know, full length practices in. They usually do it when they have back-to-back days off. I don't know if that changes much under Ty Lue, but that's how they did it under Doc Rivers the last couple of years. And you know, I think the count was 18 home games and 20 road games.
Yeah,
which means it'll probably be a more home heavy schedule. Well, lightly home heavy schedule for the second half. But look, you got to get these out of the way eventually. That's the way I see it, and you might as well get these out now. Play some of the easier ones down the stretch when you're not really playing for a playoff seed anymore, and go from there. But you know, you do have a Chicago up here. You do have some interesting teams like the Kings. The West is going to be no joke. I mean, the Pelicans aren't a joke either. OKC, I'm curious to see how, you know, what we even get out of that. There's a back-to-back. There's an OKC back-to-back on the 22nd and the 24th. Not a back-to-back set, but they play them consecutively at home. So good way to reduce travel there, I see. I mean, we also have to remember that guys are going to miss time for contracting the virus, or at least being on a, you know, what do they call that list where you've been in close contact with someone.
Yeah.
And so you're on briefly away from the team. I think Mike Conley had that. You have to quarantine for a couple of days. So we're going to get those cases. We're going to see that a lot. So I don't know how often it happens. I mean, the Portland Trailblazers announced today they closed their facility because three players contracted it, or three members contracted it. I can't remember.
Three staff, either staff member, staff/team members, I think. Yeah. Three people in the building. There you go. Yeah.
Excuse me. So that's going to play a significant factor here. I really think we're going to see. I'm hopeful again that we don't, but I really just can't imagine a scenario where we aren't dealing with this for a while. Widespread throughout the NBA. And so I if you look at the schedule, I really like their home stretch in February. I know it's kind of far out to look now, but that Cleveland, Miami, Utah, Brooklyn, Washington, that'll be an interesting stretch there leading up to the All-Star break. Well, not All-Star break, but the first half break, whatever they want to call that.
Yeah.
You know, you got, what, six home games in a row. Then you go Memphis, Milwaukee. So six games in a row at home before you go five on the road. That's probably a telling stretch there where you really want to – by then, I think you really want to figure yourself out. You want to get everyone incorporated the right way. You want to get the system set. If it's not really set by then, I think I'd have concerns. But, again, I mean, shit, we might have coronavirus issues here where guys can't play or can't practice or can't get in there, you know, into the flow of things. So we'll see where we go from there.
The one notable thing is there's six back-to-backs, at least in the first part of the schedule that's been released, because the schedule has been released up until, I believe, March 4th for the Clippers. Yes. So six back-to-backs. We got to think, I mean, Kawhi is going to rest the back-to-backs, you think?
I think he will. You know, one nugget that he gave us the other day, which I didn't know, I don't think anyone knew, is that he said he went some off-season procedure last off-season when he signed with the Clippers, which I think – I don't think many people knew about that.
On what?
You know, he didn't specify, but he said, I went through a procedure and PG went through a procedure. Hmm. And so he kind of slipped it in casually. And so I think a lot of us didn't really catch it till after. But given that he was dealing with tendonitis in his knee in the playoffs before, I'm assuming it's something on his knee. But again, they came into the season saying that he was 100% healthy and wasn't going to be managed and all that. So it came as a shock to me when I heard that. But going back to your back-to-back thing, I mean, yeah, look, we saw Kawhi play well in the playoffs. He had a couple of, you know, blips on the radar, but that's expected. You can probably expect him to sit one of the two back-to-backs, and if it's probably an Eastern Conference game, he'll probably sit that one. Looking at it now, it's West-West, West-West, East-East, East-East, and East-East. So there's none of those scenarios here. Yeah. Yeah, Kawhi's going to have to sit these back-to-backs, I think, because you want to manage him for the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if they go the route of resting Kawhi one of them and then resting PG one of them, because those are two guys you want to save for the postseason. I also expect them to bring Luke Kennard back slowly. I don't think we can expect a big role for him off the bat. I know that he was telling us that he feels 100%, and this is the best he's ever felt physically. But the guy hasn't played since, I want to say, December?
Yeah, it's been a while. He played the
first 28 games?
Yeah, it's
been a while. He was set to return March 14th, is what I saw. But the NBA obviously got suspended on the 11th.
Yeah.
So he hasn't played since December. This guy hasn't played in the whole year. So I think they're really going to bring him along slowly. Despite the big role they anticipate having for him, just because you really want to manage him as well. Because if he can be the guy that he was for Detroit in those 28 games, a 15-4-4 guy, that's huge. That's huge for the Clippers as another playmaker. So a lot to read in the schedule, but I think it's still too early because we don't know enough about this team. We know what they'll be, how good they can be, but there's a lot of factors we have to weigh into this, including coronavirus, including health. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I think guys will be load managed properly, and we'll go from there. It's not really, it's too. I think it's still too early to look into this in depth. A lot of teams we don't even know what they'll be yet. The Warriors, we don't know how they'll look as contenders. The Pelicans as well, with the new head coach.
Yeah.
Sacramento made some moves as well. They lost Bogdan. I think Buddy Hield is unhappy. There's a lot of question marks there. So we'll see. I can't wait to get this started, though.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. And the one thing I'll be curious to watch is the whole quote-unquote preferential treatment that was thrown around towards Kawhi and PG. And we talk about load management and Kawhi and PG getting rest. And then hopefully there aren't guys that are saying, oh, well, why don't I have to play every single game? Why do those guys get to rest then? Because you have guys that are going to be older veterans, guys like Lou Williams. I'll be curious to see how they manage him. And, I mean, at the same time, those are games where Lou Williams has a chance to really thrive when those guys are not there and he can become more of a playmaker. This offense in general, man, is going to be so fun to watch. Not just because of entertainment value, but just how all the pieces fit together. Because there are so many different things you can do, and Doc had the chance to do this with guys like PG, Kawhi, Marcus Morris. They can all switch. You've Ibaka. You can put him with Zoo. You can do without Zoo. Where you can put Lou Williams with these guys. You have Kennard. They have so many different guys that are disposable. It'll be so interesting to see how all the pieces fit.
I think one thing that we'll be seeing a lot of is Lou Kennard, a point guard, because I think Ty really likes his ability to playmaking, come off screen shooting as the ball handler. I think that we'll see a reduced role for Lou Will, but I do think we'll see a more irritated Lou Will, because I don't think he played the way he wanted to at all in the playoffs. He was pretty poor as well.
Do you think he's on the roster by at the end of the season?
At the end of the season?
Yep.
I would say no.
Hmm.
Only because he's an expiring and you could probably get something in exchange for him. A pick, an unknown pick, but a first-round pick is much more valuable in my opinion. I mean, in the NBA's opinion, it's valued higher than a player that's already known or an expiring, So I think if they can get an expiring, that'll work for them.
He has such a team-friendly deal that it'll be interesting to see in terms of what they do with that, because normally it's the team that's tanking that's going to take on the player, or the team that's tanking, that's going to trade away the pick or whatever, or actually, no, vice versa. The team that's going to trade away the pick, the Clippers don't have a pick to trade, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's, you trade picks, you get players.
There might be a contender out there who wants a little bit of a scoring punch, realizing they don't have enough, and they make the trade for Lou Will. That'll be the case. That'll be the only case where they trade Lou Will, in my opinion. I don't think you can really get him for, I mean, if you can get him for a George Hill style player or something like that, you probably do it. But other than that, it's tough. It's tough because I think Lou said multiple times this is his last stop. So if he's out of here, he's done. He's retiring. So, but back to the roster and the switchability. I think that's something that we didn't see enough of in the playoffs. We talked a lot about how Zoo defended and how Marcus could defend multiple positions, but I don't think we got to see a good amount of that. So I think Ty Lue is someone who will really just, and Nick Batum as well. I have to add him as well. He's a guy who can really defend. You know, he's an average defender. He's a good defender. I wouldn't say he's a great defender, but he's not a poor defender. So I think they have a lot of weapons that they really have to figure out how to use. And I expect Ty to kind of experiment with that and see what lineups work best. See if you can get a lineup out there with a, you know, Serge Ibaka, Marcus Morris, Kawhi, PG, and a Luke Kennard. That would be an all five, you know, five out lineup right there. All those guys can shoot. See if you can get an all defensive lineup. Like, I'd be curious to see if you can get Zubat at the five and Ibaka at the four. Maybe throw in, you know, something like Kawhi, PG in there as well.
And Pat.
And then Pat Bev.
Yeah.
So there's multiple things. I think Doc said he wanted to try, but never really got to try. Or if he did, it was sparingly. And I think Ty should really look to experiment. I expect that he will experiment with guys he has on the roster, because this team is deep. This team is really deep. They have a lot of guys who can switch multiple positions and defend multiple positions, and who can shoot. You know, Ibaka being a rim protector and a floor spacing five is incredible. Zoo, while he doesn't, you know, space the floor out yet, he has that mid-range jumper. He can defend at the rim. So I really hope we see a lot of experimenting this year, even if it comes at the expense of a loss. I think you want to see that kind of work being done as a fan, and even as a reporter like myself. You want to see the different things that Ty Lue is trying out, and seeing, you know, okay, Batum doesn't work in this lineup with this guy, or this guy does work with Batum in this lineup with this guy. So I'm looking forward to it. I think there's going to be a lot of experimenting this season, and it's something that'll make covering them and watching them interesting.
Yeah, and one thing that I hope they do is they get guys ready for the roles that they're going to play in the playoffs. I mean, play Zoo 30-plus minutes, because in the playoffs, you're going to need to do that. Like, that's one thing that I really hope they do in this regular season, is treat it where you can experiment, but at the same time, get guys in roles and rotations that they're used to. Yeah, you'd agree.
I mean, absolutely. We talked about it. I think we talked about it. Well, we didn't talk about it, but I have mentioned this, that you can't play Zoo an average of 18 minutes a game and then expect him to be thrust into a 30-32 minute role in the playoffs, like coming off of the coronavirus, where his conditioning wasn't there. I mean, you just can't do that. So, you know, I think you watched it. I was there. I asked Doc a couple times. I always knocked him for not playing Zoo more during the regular season. He was playing Zoo for the first maybe 5 or 6 minutes of the first quarter, and then he plays Trez the final, 18 minutes?
Yep.
17 minutes. I think Justin Russo on Twitter kept a good log of that for a while before he just gave up on it.
Yeah, I'll never understand why he did that.
You just can't do that. And Trez is a great offensive player in the regular season, but we saw what became of him in the playoffs. He was unusable. I don't think they used him the right way, but he was unusable. And so I really hope you hit on the nail on the head right there, where we see guys in roles that they'll be expected to play. Zoo, give him games where he'll play 30 minutes, 32 minutes, 35 minutes even. Heck, just throw him out there. Let him get a feel for that kind of game, so that if you do need him for 35 minutes, in case Ibaka gets in foul trouble, or vice versa, that he's capable of doing it. Because you have to remember, I think Zubac is, 24, I want to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's either 23 or 24, yeah.
I mean, he's another, 2 years away from his prime?
Yeah.
So, like, you have to get this guy out there, give him a chance to play those heavy minutes, because they paid him, I think, an $8 million, or $7 million a year, sorry. He's on a pretty team-friendly deal for the impact that he has on the team. So let him go out there and have that impact.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, you have a chance to groom a guy into what could be a very good big man. You got to have a guy play in order to get him to be that type of guy that you want. And they have a chance here to really mold someone into the type of player they want him to be. And you never know what he's capable of being. I mean, this is a guy that really could average a double-double with a couple of blocks and a very good field goal percentage. You really could have that on your hands in large minutes. So it'll be fascinating to see.
You're bringing me back to December and January and February when I had a lot of people in my mentions saying, why isn't Doc playing Zubats more? And even I asked him, and I'm just like, I'm confused. I don't know why. I asked him a couple times, and he just gave me answers that, you know, while they made sense to an extent, they just weren't. I don't know. I'm not a head coach. I don't pretend to be smarter than a head coach. But it's tough to see that everyone sees how effective Zubats is, and yet you refuse to play the guy.
Yeah, we said that. I said that with Justin.
I was so confused by that. I don't get it. And then even in the playoffs when I asked him, like, hey, do you pay attention to lineup data? Because Trez is playing like crap right now, and Zoo is killing it. And he goes, yeah, we have our analytical guys. We have all our coaches. I'm like, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, when Justin Wilson came on when we were talking about this whole thing. And it's this exact conversation where we were discussing Doc and saying, listen, we don't know how to coach. Doc is an incredible coach. There's no other way to describe him. He's a very good coach. But there are times where the numbers tell you something right in your face and you're just blatantly ignoring it. And then you have PG come out, as we bring this full circle, to say that adjustments weren't made. And so here we are. Hopefully Ty Lue makes the adjustments. Hopefully we see a different Clippers team that has the capability of winning the title, because that would be very nice if we can get the vaccine and then celebrate in LA right after the Lakers get their title and they can't celebrate. It would look great to have the Clippers be able to celebrate their first title.
I mean, that would be incredible. I mean, I'm sure a good portion of LA would be pissed off, but I mean, this is a franchise that has struggled with futility for, you know, their entire existence up until the, what, mid-2010s, I would say, 2012, probably something like that, when they got Chris Paul. You know, they've been pretty bad. They haven't been able to attract superstars, and they finally did it. They've been doing every single thing right since then. You know, Blake Griffin thing aside, I know that was, you know, critiqued, highly critiqued, but they did get him paid before they traded him. So it's not like he got left like Isaiah Thomas. They've done everything right. I think at this point it's just doing the little things, getting guys to lock in on the court, pay attention to the little details, which is what Marcus and PG both said that they didn't do. Just don't take this for granted. You know, this and the path isn't easy. I think some of the guys may have thought that the path was easy because they were so talented last year, and they really were. They were incredibly talented on paper. On paper, I don't think I had a better team out there. I didn't. I thought they were the most talented team on paper.
Yeah.
But as a collective team, the Nuggets were better.
Yeah, the pieces didn't work. The pieces just didn't work, and everybody didn't have a certain role. Well, the guys like the Lakers, they had a role. I mean, Caruso had a role. Danny Green had a role. These guys knew what their job was. Dwight Howard knew what his job was, and they all did it admirably, and they deserved the title.
And I think the Clippers struggled with that because they had a guy in a contract year in Montrezl Harrell who's looking to get paid.
Yeah.
I think at some point in mid-January, I heard he was expected to get a four-year, $60 million offer deal from a team like Charlotte or Atlanta.
Oh, for sure. I think so he lost at least $50 million in the bubble.
A lot of money. Yeah, a lot of money. And they were struggling. I think that's one of Doc Rivers' struggles, where he was struggling with, I got to play Trez because I'm going to cost him money if I don't. But also, he's not playing well. So that's what I kind of feel for Doc, where he didn't have an easy job handling that, and then the egos as well. I think this year we'll see a lot of the guys just paying attention to the little details, not taking things for granted, going out there and playing all 48 minutes. I don't want to say it was to this extent where I'm saying, like, I think the Clippers really just felt like they were talented enough to get by anyone, regardless of the hard work. I really think they were. They just felt like they could out talent you, if that makes sense. And that wasn't the case. You saw that with the Nuggets. They were not the better team, but they were the better team, collective team. So I really expect the Clippers to lock in on that, focus on their chemistry, build chemistry somehow over Zoom. I don't know how. And just, you know, play as more of a unit that doesn't take things for granted, doesn't miss all the little details. I don't think Ty will let them miss the details, to be honest. We saw what he did in Cleveland. He's a guy who held reportedly held LeBron accountable, where he told him, you're not doing enough, at halftime of Game 7, where he was on pace for a 35-point triple-double.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can get a guy to say that to LeBron, I think you're in a good position. So as long as he holds Kawhi and PG accountable, I think it starts there. You mentioned the preferential treatment earlier. I don't know if we'll see much of that. And so I think it starts from there. Once you see your stars being held accountable, I think the entire guys follow after that. So I'm just excited to get this going, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you know it's out there. You know what they can do. Just got to go out there and do it at this point.
Yep, and you'll be covering the team all season long. Tomer, where can we find you? Promote yourself. You still have the Battle for LA podcast?
I do. I haven't been doing as many Clippers-centric ones with that, but okay. I did have Danny Green on about a month ago. I'll have him on again in a bit. Trying to get Serge Ibaka on, so we'll see if we can get him on as well. Mm. But you can follow me at Tomer Azarly. That's TomerAzarly on Twitter and Instagram. I'll do all my coverage there. I'll post videos, articles, quotes, content, anything you want Clippers related there. Follow along if you want your Clippers content. I will be able to provide it for you guys. And then also follow Clutch Points wherever you guys get your news, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that. So. That's pretty much it.
Cool. And it should be a really fun season. So hopefully everybody go follow Tomer if you're not already. He's a great follow, especially during all of these media sessions where he's tweeting out quotes as they go along. And he's also posting some videos here and there as well. Tomer, always a pleasure having you on, my man.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you. Hope everything is well. Hope you guys are staying safe and healthy. And hope you guys have a happy holiday season.
Yes, sir. To you as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Tomer. A good look into the season that is just around the corner, man. It really does feel like that offseason was about 2 minutes. And that frankly, that's how the last 9 months have felt. But nonetheless, it really does feel like the season just ended and the Lakers just won the title. But work to do now for the Clippers. We'll be with you throughout the entire season as we start to ramp things back up. Friday is when the Clippers will kick things off. We'll have another podcast for you over the weekend as we break down what we saw and we look ahead to December 22nd, the regular season opener against the Lakers, as the Clippers have to be there as the Lakers raise their banner and get those rings. And what should be some motivation, you would think, on opening night. Usually the team that comes out and gets their rings does come out a little bit flat. So we'll see if they've got that championship hangover and if the Clippers can capitalize. Before we go, I got to tell you about our friends over at Manscaped. Boy, to all the ball handlers out there, before you throw on your team's gear, make sure you take care of your below-the-waist grooming. Our partners at Manscaped are here to save your boys from taking on a double team of nagging defenders so you stay clean and take care of yourself where it matters most. Manscaped here to sink the competition and deliver the best tools for your below-the-waist grooming experience. You ask me, what am I doing with Manscaped? What does it do? How about that time where you've used the scissors to perhaps cut down there? Or maybe even on your chin. You got that extra hair sticking out. You got a couple hairs. You just want to, cut it with your, figure you can do it with your scissors or something that's a razor that's not very good. How about the Lawnmower 3.0? It's simply the best hygiene tool for the modern man. The Manscaped team redesigned the electric trimmer. The engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Because of their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced. They do an incredible job. They've got the light so it shines bright and you know exactly what you're doing. They want to make sure that you are cleaned up properly, whether it's going to be down there or if you're going to use it on your face as well. They do such an incredible job. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with a crop preserver and the Crop Reviver. Also, the new and improved Lawnmower, waterproof, cordless, body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when we're done quarantining. It is the thing to get. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20. That is the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with the code HOOPBALL20. And before we go, if you have a chance, please go to that iTunes store, the Apple store, give us that five-star rating and a review as well. It does help this podcast as we continue to grow. Big thanks to you, the listener, for listening this long. If you're still listening, a big thank you for being here the entire way as we continue to build this podcast. Until next time, I'm Brandon Marcus. Go Clips!
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.